How about them Steelers? Come on, Steelers! That's what I'm talking about. I was crazy. How do you sleep after that? Like, I gotta get up soon, and this is nuts. Like, I mean, like, it was crazy. 15-0, fourth quarter, you're thinking, okay, listen, if you're in the red zone, you need a touchdown, man. It's 3 points, you're gonna cut it. And then just, you know, once Ben got out, and then momentum switched, and it was just like, what's going on? My little man, Ethan, total black and gold, man. He's freaking out. He's screaming. He's yelling. He goes to bed, right? And he's like, and I'm like, dude, they fumbled. Get back in here. He's running in. Renee's screaming. I'm just like, oh, this is killing us. Like, what is going on? But it was a victory. We'll take it. My man Ben came out. We're texting back and forth. Woo! Then we'll take a victory. Come on. It was awesome. It was awesome. I don't know what holds next week, but we won last night. That was crazy. Love football. That was fun. Can I preach now? This is good stuff. Come on, welcome to BC. Man, yeah, we're Steeler country, man. People love the Steelers at Believers Chapel. That's it. Tony likes Dallas. Like, who's Dallas? They even have a team? I don't even know the Cowgirls. They're only famous for their cheerleaders, I guess. Anyways, Oh, we are so... That's great transition, Sean. That's awesome. Hey, come on. Hey, well... You are full of hope, and that's, amen. Come on, Timeless. This is our series for the next several weeks, man. We started last week where God is still God with powerful, powerful message last week. And then this week is Timeless. Jesus is still the only Savior. And man, we bring this up to a point that we have to really understand that Jesus is, always has been, always will be the only way for salvation. I'm like, Sean, yeah, I mean, come on, man, Sean, we know that. We're church, we're Believers Chapel, you preach this all the time. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Yeah, we hear it all the time. We know this. We get it. But this morning, man, we're going to take a thing that we know as truth, and then we're going to stick it into reality and honestly really see if they line up, or truth lines up with reality. Because, man, we're going to walk out of this place challenged, as we do every week, but this morning's a serious challenge because we can become very lukewarm as we get serious, man. We can come, right when I walk off the stage, it gets serious. We can go, that was good. All right, listen, but honestly, we can come to a place to really understand that when reality sets in, there's people that we know, there's people that we love, there's husbands that are amazing husbands that are great dads. There's wives that are amazing wives that are great moms. There's people that we work with. There's family that we know and love, and they're good people. They're great people. They are so generous, and they are so kind. And we can buy in to a lie, even though we know truth. But the reality is, if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're not saved. And they're bound for an eternity of damnation, separate from the very presence of God forever. Yeah, but Sean, he's a great dad. Sean, man, she's the best mom I know. These people I work with are the kindest, gentlest people. And you're telling me that if they don't know Jesus, they're going to be in hell that is separate from God forever, but they're the kind. Yes. See, this is where the truth of that we know. But what happened when we became the sense of being lukewarm in the reality of it, that good people are damned for an eternity if they don't know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. That's the absolute reality of the truth that we know. But honestly, man, how many times do we just become really lukewarm in that fact? How many times do we really come to a place to think, man, even think, well, they're a good person. Man, they even come to church. I know that they even give. I know that they even serve. You're telling me that if they don't know Jesus, even though they've checked all those religious boxes, that they're going to be separate from God forever? Yes. See, this is where truth meets reality. And it should charge us, folks. It should propel us out of this place today to win those who are good people. To win those who maybe go to a church, twin those who are our neighbors that you have lived next to for 30 years, maybe to win the person that you work with for the last 25, 30 years. You've worked cubicle to cubicle. You've worked in the same school system. You've worked in the same PD or wherever your job is, that you've worked with these people in and out, and you know them to be great people. Man, he's the best teacher I know. He's a great teacher. He cares for these kids. He's awesome. You're telling me that if he doesn't know Jesus, he's bound in eternity in hell forever? The reality is yes. And that should just kill us, folks. That should break our hearts. That should just break our hearts. When the reality is that Jesus is still, always has been, always will be, the only way to salvation. Then that should be the message. Then that's what we need to live for around those good people who do everything right, except reject Jesus as King, Master, and Lord. Father, please, that you would move in this place, that we would just come. God, help me, please. God, I need to bring this truth to our lives in a sense of reality, God. We need to make it a reality. We know it, God. Yes, we know it. We preach it all the time. Jesus, you said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except. Jesus, we hear that all the time. We know this. God, I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit this morning, I would do my very best to bring this thing from a thing of truth to a thing of reality to our lives. That there are so many that we do love and we care for. God, let us not be lukewarm in the sense that if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, there is no hope for heaven. Oh God, please help me. Folks, that you'd be here this morning and say, God, I'm ready to hear this. God, open my eyes to see what I need to see. God, open my ears to hear exactly what I need to hear. And God, my heart is open and respond to what you say. God, I'll respond to it. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, I want to start. There's two places. John 5, Philippians 2. If we get to Philippians 2, great. If not, we'll stick with John 5. Philippians 2:15 just simply says, if we don't get there so you know, that we are called to appear as lights to the world, to a crooked and perverse generation. That's who we are. To a crooked and perverse generation, our call is to appear as lights to those people, to win them to the glory of God. So maybe we'll get there, maybe we're not. But this is the deal. I want you to see this. This is what the Bible says. 1 John 5:12. I love this. When I would travel around and do evangelical type settings, or I am there on the purpose, asked to come in to preach a message on salvation so that those who were lost would be found. And we understand that that was a part. I traveled around, and this is kind of what I did as that first opening as of an evangelist would be like this. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5:12. What a powerful verse. What a very simple verse. What a very black and white verse. There's no gray area in this. Gang, when you break it down, there's heaven, there's hell, there's God the Father, there's Satan who is considered a father, and he is the absolute biggest con man of all time. And he is a liar, and he is a deceiver, and he will take anything. And he doesn't give up what people believe. He has created so many different spider webs that you can get to heaven this way, and you can get to eternal bliss this way, or if you believe this, you can. And the biggest lie is if you're just good enough, he is the biggest con man of all. And he's really, really good at it. So how do you fight that? Well, God's word says this: he who has the Son has life. That's Jesus. Jesus is still, it's a timeless truth, the only way. But I know somebody who goes to church and they believe this, or I know somebody who goes to a complete different type of church and they believe that this is the way to a heaven, or this is the way to eternal bliss, or this is the way to wherever they talk about. The Bible truth, where truth comes to reality, is God says that he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Sean, yeah, I know that's true, but honestly, folks, what happens when we're lukewarm in our reality that the very people that we love so deeply and dearly, whether it's intimate family or whether it is these people that we know, we've worked with them, and they're great people, and they don't know Jesus? Yes, the reality is they're going to be separate from God forever. And that's painful. That's painful. And there is no salvation. No salvation. There is salvation in no one else. There's no salvation in anyone, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men that by which we must be saved. It's Jesus, and it's Jesus alone. Look at John 8. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. What a statement from Jesus. Jesus, who is God, who is the creator of all. Jesus, who knows all things. Jesus says this statement. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, unless you believe that I am the Messiah, that I am the King, unless you believe that I am the Savior, that I am the Redeemer, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, then you will die in your sins. For the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus says this, man, what a powerful statement, that I've said this to you, that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He. Gang, is there any wiggle room in this? Is there any gray area in this? And you have two forces at work here. Honestly, just two. You have the Father of all, who is God. And you have the father of lies, who is Satan. And He has spread so many different ways. He has put a smokescreen on so many different avenues. He doesn't give a rip what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus, because He knows. He knows that Jesus is the only way. He knows that. So He will do everything in His power to sidetrack you or sidetrack people to believe in anything else other than Jesus is truly the only way. That's truth. That meets reality. Man, come on, look at this in John 5. Because in preparing this, I just feel like I wanted to bring out one of the greatest lies of all. There's many. But I think this is the one that I personally hear the most. Man, do you know Jesus? Well, I go to church. My heart breaks when I hear that. Man, have you ever really given your life to Christ? Well, man, I really am a good person. You know what? I've done the rule book, man. I've followed the rules. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't cheated on my wife. I haven't had an affair. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. I haven't cheated on my husband. I'm faithful to my... Man, I've done all the rules. What do you mean I'm not in? Man, folks, it breaks my heart, but when I hear this, this is one of the biggest, most deceptive lies of all, is that we can honestly just be good enough. Because Isaiah tells us, even when we were righteous, this is BC, this is before Christ, even when we thought that everything was right, he says, on our best day, you are as filthy as a dirty rag. And to get real serious, that dirty rag there is a menstrual cycle rag. That's your best day. The enemy has spun such a lie to believe in that we're good enough. Well, we don't understand the holiness of God, and we don't understand the purity of God, and we don't understand that God is absolutely holy, and He can't be in the presence of that which is not. And why Jesus Christ came for us, He took that, redeemed us, paid for that so that we could be holy and righteous and blameless and then stand in the presence of God, cleansed and pure and clean and forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. That's incredible, folks. And we look to this. Look at this, John 5. Amazing pictures of those who believed in a bunch of rules other than believing in Jesus. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. That's kind of a cool name, Bethesda, the pool at Bethesda. Awesome. Having five porches. And these lay, get this picture. And in these lay multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. So around this pool is all of these people. This is not a healthy scene. all of these people, look at them, those who were blind, those who were sick, those who were lame or paralyzed, and those who were withered, waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, get this, the first one in after the stirring of the water stepped in and was made well from whatever disease from which he was afflicted. Verse 5. Now, I mean, what a crazy scene. All these sick people, blind, all the ones who were paralyzed, all the ones who couldn't see, all the ones who were diseased, there is a stirring of this water. And if they, the first one in, gets healed. Crazy. Verse 5. And a man was there who had been ill, or he'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition. And he said to him, "Do you wish to get made well?" Kind of a crazy question. Been paralyzed for 38 years. Do you wish to be made well? And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, others step down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now this was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath on that day. And the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But so he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk'?" Verse 13. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while in the crowd in that place. Okay, could you imagine this story where you've got this dude who is paralyzed? He has no one to help him in. That means he can't move. He's laying on his pallet, or this little thing that they would consider to be a bed. And he's just laying there. And all of a sudden the waters are stirred and all these people are trying to step over him and kick him. Man, it's every man for himself. This is a chaotic, crazy scene where the waters are stirred. Everybody's trying to get healed. Everybody's trying to get delivered. It's every man for himself. Could you imagine this dude who can't move? Who's going to stop and help him in when everyone's pushing and shoving and kicking? And it's just a crazy, chaotic scene. Have you ever been in there where it really is a scene where it's every man for himself? Maybe you're in an airport and you're trying to get on the plane, and it's like everybody has to have the overhead and everybody has to, and it's just like elbows are flying, right? Well, I had just something like this. I mean, I was in Pittsburgh over Christmas, and this was Saturday morning. I'm preaching on Sunday, so I go out real early Saturday morning, go to the same bagel shop, sit down, have a bagel, have a couple cups of coffee, and just study and study, and I love it there. And then Olivia calls me at like earlier in the morning and said, "Hey, can you stop by this place called Bethel Bakery, which is famous for the Oberkfels? We love Bethel Bakery, amazing donuts. I love donuts." And she said, "Could you pick up some donuts?" I'm like, "Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to." So I'm done. I have no idea what time they open. I'm driving to Bethel Bakery. All of a sudden I see all these cars. This is Saturday morning, man. 9:58 or 9:59. I'm like, "What is going on?" And I'm thinking, they're all here for Bethel Bakery. What is happening? They open at 10 o'clock. And gang, it was one of the places that you actually have to pull a number, right? I hate those things because you're looking at number 76. I'm not waiting for 75 people to get a donut. Like, they're not that good, okay? Renee says they're that good. Wasn't for me that day. So here I'm in this crowd, and honestly, it's chaotic. It's like every man for themselves. Like, people are elbowing for a donut and pushing, and like, you're so close to people, they're breathing on you, and you know what they had for breakfast, right? I mean, it's like, what's that, right? It's like, come on. I know, that's gross. That's awesome. Woo! But this is that scene where it's every man for himself. First one in wins the prize of healing. And Jesus comes up to this dude. He doesn't even know it's Jesus, has no idea who he is. Well, we don't know actually how long he's been laying by this pool. We know he has been paralyzed for 38 years. And this stranger walks up to him. I could just see this, where this stranger walks up to him and says, "Get up." What? Has anyone ever asked him that before? "Get up." That's crazy. But you know what's crazier is what he says before that. "Do you want to be made well?" I have been laying on this mat. I have been paralyzed for 38 years. Every time I try to get in the pool, I get kicked, I get spit on, I get pushed back. What do you mean, do I want to be made well? Of course I want to be made well. But gang, you know what I've found out? When you sit down with people and you counsel people and you sit and they have the same issue and it's the same, and you're encouraging them, you're building, you're counseling them, and nothing ever changes because they never do anything about it. And my question, honestly, I have taken from this passage, and my question to people after a few times is, do you really want to get better? Do you really want your marriage better? Because you haven't done anything to make it better. So is this what identifies you? Because honestly, this is what I feel. There's so many times that people walk in this sense of hurt and pain and brokenness, and that's what people know them for. Therefore, that's what identifies them. And for some crazy psychotic reason, that's what they like. That identifies them. And here Jesus comes up to this dude and says, do you wish to get made well? Or do you want this thing to identify you for the rest of your days? Or are you comfortable in your chaos? How many times can we be comfortable in our chaos when Jesus really is the answer and we just say, nope, this identifies me, I'm okay. And the sick man answers him and says, sir, verse 7, I don't have anyone to put me into the pool. And Jesus says this, get up. And could you imagine what it is to be paralyzed for 38 years? Could you imagine what that does to your muscles, to your legs? Could you imagine what that does to your ankles, to your arms? I mean, listen, anyone who's had a hang up or you have to be bedridden for 30 days, that alone is just, your muscle mass just begins to deteriorate and it's just tough to rebound. It takes years and years to it takes physical therapy, it takes rehab. It's just crazy when you're down and out just for a short season what it takes to get back to normal. And this stranger walks up to this dude that's on this mat for 38 years. He's been paralyzed and he says, get up. No one's ever said that before. Like, who's just walked by him and said, get up? Could you imagine what's going through his mind going, hey, I'll try it. And he begins to push himself up, or he begins to try it. And then all of a sudden, man, immediately he begins to get strength in his ankles, strength in his knees, strength in his legs. Muscle mass is completely there. Never had to go to physical therapy. Jesus simply said, listen, know this. Gang, it wasn't because of the man's faith. He never asked for this. Jesus didn't lay hands on him and pray over him in some big, heavy spiritual prayer. Jesus said, get up. So this guy begins to just stand up. And you could imagine, the Bible says immediately, everything came together. Could you imagine where he's going, oh, wow. And in his, how could he not be pumped? How could he not be juiced? The Bible says in verse 9, immediately the man became well and he picked up his pallet and he began to walk. And here's the sad part of this. No, it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, they knew this man to be paralyzed. They knew that he was in an absolute desperate, broken, horrible place. And they saw that he was healed. Honestly, man, what would you do? You would celebrate. You would go crazy. Wow, this is amazing. How did this happen? Who put you in the pool? This, whoa, 38 years, we've seen you. This is amazing. Negative. No celebration. No excitement. They were so miffed that this guy was carrying his pallet on the Sabbath. You're breaking my rules. You're not supposed to carry anything. This is a non-work day. You're not supposed to carry anything. It's considered work. How dare you carry your pallet? You can imagine this guy doing, seriously? Like, hello, like, come on, check me out. Like, you're worried about me carrying my pallet. And for 38 years, I have been done and out. And in two words, get up. Well, who told you to carry your pallet? I mean, look at these Pharisees, man. You want to punch these guys in the face going, what is wrong with you? And your stupid rules. And your stupid regulations. When Jesus shows up. To break the rules and stupid man-made regulations of the do's and don'ts of what you can and cannot do to be saved. And they go and they question this guy. Well, who was it? He says, I don't know. After my jumping around in celebration in absolute awe and amazement that everything's working, he was gone. I don't know who it was. The Bible says this, I love this, that Jesus found him in the temple. Could you imagine that scene where he says, he's talking to whatever he's doing in the temple, or maybe he's showing the priest that he's totally healed, or whatever he was doing there, he could see, he says, That's you. That you're the one. You did this to me. Where Jesus, on purpose, went to find him. And then he goes and he tells the Jews, it was Jesus who did this for me. That's what happens when we really confuse, I think, one of the biggest lies of all is by a set of rules. That if you do this, if you do that, and Jesus came and he crushed legalism. He crushed religion. Because we can so buy in to a lie that says if you buy in to religion, or if you buy in to being good enough, or set a standard that the church, and listen, the Pharisees were the church rulers of the day, and they set these ridiculous standards to say, you will be right if you follow my rules. That's why they hated Jesus, because he broke the rules, and he caused others to break the rules on purpose as a spiritual punch to their face. But how many times, honestly, do we know people in our lives, our friends, our family, our relatives, who've bought into a religious lie? Yeah, but I go to church. Are you saved? I go to church. Now what I asked you. Do you know Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior? Man, have you truly been born again? All old is gone, new has come. Do you get that? Man, I serve a church. Didn't ask you that. But the hard part, folks, for this, honestly, the hard part is this, is when we come to a place when it really is people that we love. We have to believe that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. That's truth. What happens when it is someone that we so desperately care for? What happens when it is somebody that we so deeply love, and they are such great people? And they have such a great care for their friends, and they are great moms, and they're great dads, and they're great husbands, and they're great wives, and their work ethic at work, man, they're the greatest employees of the whole business. They're phenomenal. They're just great people. See what happens when truth meets reality. So you're telling me that if they don't confess Christ as Lord and Savior, really believing that Jesus is the only way, then they're going to be separate forever from the presence of God. Yes, that's what God said. See, folks, then people can buy into this other lie, and this is a serious lie, that God must just be one who just says he just wants a small, tight group. That God's very exclusive. He's like, he's going to exclude most and be an inclusive God where he's only going to include a few. Gang, I want you to see this, please. John 3:16, you know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever? That screams, all are welcome. All are welcome. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All are welcome. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. For whoever, there it is again, whoever. Man, this is not exclusive. This isn't, man, I just want us four and no more. And we just want this little and God. It is anyone who will call in the name of Jesus. God said, listen, I love the world and I gave my son for the world. So God so loved the world. That is, every single person is given the exact same opportunity to respond to the gospel message that Jesus is truly and guaranteed to be the absolute only way, regardless of the lies, regardless of the deception, regardless of the con man, regardless of the rules, regardless of the religion, regardless of this way and that way and this way and that way. And there's so many different ways to heaven. There's one, And it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's one, he who comes to a place to call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's only one. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And gang, where is it when truth meets reality, even in a sense to the very dear people that we love the most, that have bought into a religious lie? Well, I can do this and I can check the box and I've gone to church all my life. Doesn't that count for something? It only counts for something if you've made a decision for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You've come to a place to repent. You've come to a place to believe. And you've come to a place to surrender to Him. That's when that makes a difference. That's the only time that makes a difference. And it's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And gang, I'm telling you what, that's painful for me. And I say it's painful because there's so many people that I know that I love. There's so many people that I've worked with for so many years that I know if today was their last day, it would be a very bad day for them forever. Where I have had conversations and I am trying to be that witness and I am trying to be Christ's ambassador and I am trying to be a light to this crooked and perverse generation and I'm doing everything I can and my heart breaks because they bought into some lie that they're good enough. They bought into some deception that they're okay because they have XYZ'd. Because they've followed some stupid set of rules that some man made up. They followed some stupid religion that some man made up. That man being led by the enemy of God. Gang, it's real simple. There's Father God, there's Father Satan, there's heaven, and there's hell, there's sheep, and there's goats. And the only way to get out of the dark, we got to understand this. Every single person who's ever had breath first ends up in the kingdom of darkness, and then we are transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son only by our belief and trust in Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's it. So this morning, this is like a serious, honest check. When truth comes to a place to meet reality, that there are people all around us that have bought into some religious lie. I can't tell you this, my heart breaks for the ones. It's not those who absolutely flat out reject God. It's not those who are agnostic or atheist. My heart breaks for them. God calls them fools. God calls them fools. For an atheist to say, I know that there is no God. I don't believe there's ever a true atheist because you could simply ask him a couple questions that verifies he doesn't know everything about everything. So he could say, maybe I don't believe that there is a God. That's one thing. That's agnostic. But for an atheist to say, I know that there is no God, then you're telling me you have to know everything, which would kind of make you God. Kind of weird, I think. God says you're a fool. But honestly, my heart breaks for those who think they're safe. Those that the enemy has flat out deceived. Remember, folks, remember Satan, he comes across and disguises himself as an angel of light. And honestly, man, our heart should break for those who have bought into some lie and they think that they're safe. Because of some silly, ridiculous, made-up rules from some ridiculous religion or even those who are in church today that say, you've got to follow my rules, and when you follow my rules, then you're safe. And we forget that the reality is that it's only Jesus, and our heart breaks for those who are such great people, who are so good. And if they don't know Jesus, if today's their last day, it's disastrous forever. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a minute, please. I mean, you imagine this, it's crazy. It's a crazy thought to think that God would do something so cruel to Jesus. Think about this. The Bible says this. I always want to read this to you. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, that's religious rules and regulations, then Christ died needlessly. There was no reason for Jesus to come if there was another way. How cruel would God be? Say, Sean, this is the deal. You're going to go down. You're going to be born this amazing, incredible virgin birth, and you're going to live this amazing, perfect life that you would be sinless and innocent. You have done no wrong. And then there'll be a day that you're going to get arrested. All the relationship you've known, they're going to turn on you. They're going to abandon you. And then you're going to get beat in the face, and you're going to be stripped naked, and you're going to be ashamed, and you're going to hang on a cross after being whipped and whipped and ripped, and your flesh is going to, and son, it's going to be the most agonizing pain of all mankind. People are going to look at you on that cross, son, and they're not going to even know that you're a human being. It's going to be awful. And then, son, I'm going to have to do something. Where I'm going to have to turn my back. And I, myself, am going to have to abandon you and forsake you. And I'm going to pour all the sin of man on you. And all of that, son, it is the absolute worst. Every breath you take is going to be painful, and it's going to feel like you're going to suffocate. But you know what, son? That's only one option. I've created many other ways for them to come to know me. So I'm going to put you through all of this. But yet there's going to be several other ways. Don't worry about it. How cruel would that be? When we really understand that we cannot be saved by law, there's no rules, there's no regulations, there's no other way, or Jesus would have never had to come if there was any other way. Where Jesus hangs on the cross and he screams out in a loud, loud voice. Listen, God knows his whispers. God knows Jesus' thoughts. They are connected. They are one. But the Bible says, on purpose, he screamed with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Son, it's for them. Son, it's for them. It's because I love the world, that's why. It's for the sins of the world, that they may know me, that they may be reconciled, that they may be redeemed. Son, that's it. Why have you forsaken me? Oh, Jesus, it's for them. How powerful is that? Gang, the truth is this. Jesus is the only way, regardless of any lie or deceit that we've ever bought into, regardless of how great the pitch is. It's a lie, but it's not Jesus. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you come to that place to truly repent from your sin, to understand, man, the wages of my sin is death, man. I deserve death had it not been for Jesus and my repentance of sin, man, my turning from sin. And then you come to a place to believe that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the Savior. And I confess that he is Lord. That's it. It's only Jesus. That's my belief. And you come to a place to surrender. Repent, believe, surrender. Say, Jesus, I get it, I'm all in. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Man, if you're in this place and you know, man, maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're new, maybe you've been here for a season. I don't know where you're at with Christ. I don't. If you came in this place without Jesus in your life, I mean, I'm not saying you came in maybe with the do's and don'ts. Maybe you've come in saying, I've been at Believer's Chapel for years. That doesn't make me good for anything. Do you know Jesus? I mean, honestly, have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord? I repent from my sin. I surrender my life to you. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to lead you through that. And I'm just going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand briefly, put it up, and put it down. If you're here this morning, serious moment, this is for you. Serious moment that you're here. Say, Sean, I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. The count of three, just put your hand up. Really an outward sign saying, I get it. On the count of three, one, I repent. Two, I believe. Three, I surrender. Put your hand in the air, please. Put it up real quick and put it down. Just just that you in your heart would say this. Jesus, I know that you love me and that you sent Jesus for me. God, I repent for my sin. God, I repent for my sin. I believe in Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. I call on the name of Jesus. I call on the name of Jesus to be saved. I surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. Okay, last thing. You're in this place. And truth really came to a place of reality for you. And you have an absolute understanding. You know in truth that Jesus is the only way. You know that. That's how you're saved. You get that. But the reality is, please hear this, man, in the midst of this message, probably right in the very beginning, when you really knew where God was headed with this, that how many names came to you and how many faces came to you that you really understood. The reality is, if they don't have Christ and today's their last day, it's a bad day. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor that you've come to a place. Listen. God says this. Our command is to be a witness. Our command is to be salt and light. Our command that Christ has given to us is to be his ambassadors and gang. In time, we have to be vocal at times. We have to speak the truth out in love and in grace and in kindness to those who we really know. We know in reality that if they were to die today, man, it would be the end of the day. It would be disastrous for them because they don't know Jesus. And these are good people. These are good people that we love, good people that we know. Man, if we would honestly this morning get serious about taking a stand to really be the witness that God has called us to for these people, where maybe, just maybe, we have become lukewarm in the truth of it and the reality of it, that we just think maybe, the Bible says, how will they know unless they hear? And who's the one to speak truth in their lives? Folks, it's me and you. And if you're in this place, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you have a name or you have a face of someone that you know and that you love and they're just good people, but you know they're not saved, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now, please. Please stand to your feet right now. Because we're going to pray. We're going to pray over you. We're going to pray over them. Because God's called us to be a witness. That's what he's called us to. God's called us to be Christ's ambassadors, to represent him. God's called us to be salt and light. The real deal is this. God's called us, folks, to be his mouthpiece. The Bible says my responsibility is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Everyone in this room is a minister. Everyone in this room has lip service. Everyone in this room can speak truth. Everyone in this room is an ambassador. Everyone in this room has salt and light. Everyone in this room can appear as light to the world, to a crooked and perverse generation. That's on us. That's on us. Oh God, we represent you this morning, and we represent in our stance for those who we love dearly. God, for family, for a husband, or for a wife, or for a son, or for a daughter, or for a brother, or for a sister, or for somebody that we've worked with for years, or somebody who's our neighbor. God, we take a stand this morning to say, I will be that witness. God, I will be your mouthpiece, God. God, I will be your mouthpiece today. And God, that I would see the opportunity. Folks, please ask God to give you an opportunity. Keep your eyes open for that opportunity. When God opens the door, man, the Bible says don't go kick down the door, but wait for that opportunity. And when that opportunity comes, you'll know it. God, this is it. This is that moment. God, this is the time I can speak truth. God, they're open. They're ready to hear me. But I want to pray for you this morning that in that moment, in that absolute second fraction of a moment, that you don't back down. That fear doesn't grip your mouth. God, I pray for boldness and I pray for courage in that moment, that God-given open door, that moment right then Oh, God, that we would be bold to be able to speak truth. And God, we know that your word tells us that your spirit would give us the exact words to speak. That's nothing we even have to worry about. Your spirit will give us the words that we need to speak in that exact moment. But it's our job not to back down. God, please, give us courage. Give us boldness. God, give us grace. Give us a tenderness as we speak truth to the ones that we love. God, thank you for this morning. And if you're in this place, I just want you to raise your hands up. Just honestly, as a sign, God, I hear you. I got it. So many people all around me, God, I got it. People that I know, God, maybe I've become lukewarm. Maybe I haven't been the mouthpiece you've called me to be. Maybe I've missed so many opportunities that you've called me to. I get it this morning, God. God, I get it this morning. I will be that witness in a gentle, kind, loving, graceful way. It's only Jesus. Come on, let's worship our Father this morning.